Thank you all for the opportunity to speak today, and it's really an honor to be here. And before I get started, I did have a slide about something special going on today. Does anyone know what special day it is today besides Tim's birthday and Joyce's birthday? It's the 10-year anniversary celebration of Transformation Church. Isn't that amazing? Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. They are our sister church. And we are very, very grateful. Pastor Chris and Judy are there celebrating with them today, and I think some of our other people are there as well. Hopefully it wasn't just because they don't want to hear me speak. Uh-oh, are you all right? Okay. I think he's okay. I have an extra cane in my office if you need. Oh, my goodness. Okay. But let's go ahead and pray a blessing over TC right now. Can we do that? Father God, we love you so much, Lord. We're so grateful for the opportunity that Chapel has had to invest in another church, God, that is just flourishing. God, we're grateful for them, and we just pray blessings over them today, over their celebration, that, Lord God, you would just anoint and bless and continue to help them grow, send them workers. And God, just continue to help them grow, not only in number, but spiritually and in every way, Lord, as they minister to those that have addictions and they have this center going on, God, just so many things going on. And we just ask blessings over them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think it's awesome. 10 years. They are going strong. They're running over 200 people or so. So that is incredible. So thank you, Jesus. So as you know, we had our special event last Wednesday, and half of you guys were probably already there. I'm not going to repeat every single thing, but a couple things will be repeated. And one of those is this next video. Danielle, are you ready for it?
Imagine. Imagine what it could be like if every child in foster care was waking up in a safe, loving home.
Imagine bedtime stories, warm meals, and someone who shows up every time.
Imagine a world where no child sleeps in a CYS office because there are enough homes ready, waiting, and full of love.
Imagine a child that can stay with one foster family and not have to move because that family had the support and care they needed to keep going.
Imagine a social worker who is supported, encouraged, and reminded that their work matters.
Imagine having the same person walk with you the whole way, from the first hard day to the day you find home.
Now imagine you. What could happen if you chose to be part of the solution to bring that vision into reality? Imagine your compassion changing a story. Imagine your generosity helping to build a family. Imagine a mentor for every child aging out of the system. Imagine a home for every child in care. Imagine your yes, rewriting the future for a child. Imagine
what we could do
together.
So our theme this year was imagine, and the verse is, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, Ephesians 3:20. So we have this box over here, the boxes over here that say imagine. I want you to imagine with us what could happen if we become the hands and feet of Jesus. So as you know, my name is Karen Farkas, and I work with Keystone Family Alliance, and we exist to educate, motivate, and equip every Christian in the state of Pennsylvania. You have a slide for that? Okay. We want to help vulnerable children, not only in the state of Pennsylvania, but also around the world. We bridge the gap between CYS and churches, and we want to create care communities to wrap around foster families so that they will not give up when the going gets tough. So, first of all, I want to say thank you and how humbled and grateful I am for your support, overwhelming support from Chapel. We had an event on Wednesday, and 6 out of the 12 tables that were there were filled with people from Chapel. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. And many, many, many of you guys gave so much. I just, like, I couldn't believe when I opened the envelope that had the envelopes. Thank you, guys. I can't even say thank you enough. Daniela, can you go on to the next one? There are a few pictures of the event, and then keep going. We thank you, thank you, thank you so much for those that came and for those who gave. And I wanted to give you kind of an update, because guess what? We are so close. Keep going. All right. Oh, man, that's hard to see. Can you guys see it? Okay. The update. We raised $12,000 for 2026. So that includes the pledges and all this stuff. And so we are able to launch. We need one more church to sign on the dotted line. I have a few in waiting. They are so close. So keep praying that God will give us those churches to say, hey, we're not just looking for support, money support. We are looking for people that will be the hands and feet of Jesus, which is what we're talking about today. So I want to say with all my heart, thank you all. Thank you for your investment. Thank you so, so much. So many of you have heard and seen my presentation on Keystone Family Alliance more than once. They say it takes 7 times, so we're almost there. We all just have 3 more times to go, maybe. But today is a day to give you practical ways to get involved. Some of you guys are already involved in ministry in so many different ways, and I'm not trying to give you more jobs to do, okay? Some of you guys are already stretched to the limit with all that you're already doing. However, there are some people here that maybe you haven't exactly found your something. Your something that you can do to help vulnerable children. So as I shared with the pastor on Friday, I called him up and I said, wow, I saw in your envelope that you guys want to do care communities. And I had a request for a care community come through in Franklin or Oil City. And you guys, would you want to do that? And he goes, I am so glad you called. I have some ladies in my church, and they love to cook. They just really love to cook, and they're really good at it, and they're really good. And I said, well, do you mean like for events, or do you mean like for families to provide meals? He goes, either or, both, whatever. I'm like, yes. I'm like, you got it. That's what we need. We need people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You see, I've visited a foster home multiple times just in our area, and this foster mom, she keeps getting donations from different people. She gets stuff. She gets bags of this and stuff for her kids, and she has 5 foster kids. Like she said, we don't need more stuff. We need help. We need help. We need somebody to come in this house and just be here. Like just sit down and read a story to a kid, you know? Just bring a meal, do whatever. And just at the beginning of March, I got a text from a mom in Emlinton. We're hoping to partner with her. And this is what she said. I'm kind of drowning a little lately and could possibly use an extra hand. This family with 6 kids at home includes 1 adopted and 2 foster children. Plus the mom works full time. Do you think there might be a reason why she feels like she's drowning? And a couple of the foster kids are kind of having issues. So one actually had to go to a facility for a while. And I'm telling you guys, we can help. So Keystone Family Alliance is there to give us the structure and give us the platform, give us the way to partner with these families so that they're not drowning. We don't want them to be drowning. We want them to be encouraged. And so it's time that the church steps up and does what we are called to do. I'd like to encourage you with the following story that Jesus told. And I want you to really, really zone in on the surprise part of the story. It's a familiar story. And instead of me reading it from the Bible, I would like you to hear it and see it on the video by a singer that actually passed away a long time ago. but how many of you guys have ever heard of Keith Green? Long time ago, right? Okay, so Keith Green sang this song. He played the piano and sang this song to remind us a story in Matthew chapter 25 about the sheep and the goats. Now, I don't want you to hear the song as condemnation in any way, shape, or form, but I want you to think of the surprise. Because when Jesus talked to the sheep and the goats after the story, They were both surprised. They both asked the question, when? When did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did we see these things? So I want you to listen to the story.
And when the Son of Man comes, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his glorious throne, and he shall divide the nations before him, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And he shall say to the sheep, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was sick, and I was in prison, and you came to me. Thank you. Enter into your rest. Shall answer him. Yes, they shall answer him. And they'll say, Lord, when? When were you hungry, Lord? And we gave you something to eat? Lord, when were you thirsty? Can't remember. And we gave you drink. When were you naked, Lord? And we clothed you. Were you a stranger and we invited you in? I mean, we invited lots of people in, but Lord, I'd never forget that face. Lord, when were you sick and we visited you, or in prison and we came to you? Lord, tell us. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh, yes. Inasmuch as you've done it to the very least of my brethren. Oh, you've done it. You've done it unto me. Enter into your rest. Then he shall turn to those on his left, the goats. Depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked, out in the cold, in exposure, and you sent me away. I was a stranger, and I knocked at your door, but you didn't open. You told me to go away. I was sick, wrapped in pain upon my bed, and I begged and prayed and pleaded that you'd come, but you didn't. I was in prison. that you'd come. I heard your programs on the radio and read your magazines, but you never came. Depart from me. Lord, there must be some mistake. When? Lord, when? I mean, when were you hungry, Lord? And we didn't give you something to eat. I mean, Lord, when were you thirsty and we didn't give you a drink? I mean, that's not fair. Well, would you like something now? One of the angels want to go out and get the Lord a hamburger and a Coke? Yeah. Oh, you're not hungry. Yeah, I lost my appetite too. Lord, when were you naked? I mean, that's not fair either, Lord. We didn't even know what size you wear. Well, Lord, when were you a stranger, Lord? You weren't one of those creepy people that used to come to the door, were you? Oh, Lord, that wasn't our ministry, Lord. We just didn't feel led, you know? But Lord, when were you sick? What did you have anyway? Well, at least it wasn't fatal. Oh, it was? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I would have sent you a card. Lord, just one last thing we want to know. When were you in prison, Lord? For anyway, I had a friend in Leavenworth. Enough! Inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Depart from me. And these shall go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous into eternal life. And my friends, the only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to the scripture, is what they did and didn't do.
So did you hear the surprise? The sheep were surprised. When? When did we do this? And the goats were surprised. When did we see you? So the thing is that what comes down to what we do for the Lord. The sheep didn't realize they were just loving people the way Jesus did. Did you notice several of those items can apply to kids in foster care? I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, yeah. And even the clothing, the visiting, a stranger inviting them in. Almost every single thing on that list applies to these kids. And so, as I was thinking of this message, the Lord dropped another story in my heart. It's very short, Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 42. I do not have it on the screen. I'm giving you permission to get your phones out if you would like. It is in the NIV. And in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Back up, rewind. Disciple. This is the only time disciple is applied to a lady in the Bible. It's the feminine version of the word disciple. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, he sent two men up to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. This implies that she was rather wealthy because most people lived in a one-room house, so she had an upstairs room, and she was taken upstairs. The other thing that you can get from the story is the fact that most of the time, if a person died in the Bible times, They were buried that day. And Peter was maybe 2 days' journey away, but they put her body upstairs. They had heard that Jesus was doing miracles through Peter, and so they were anticipating that God could do something for this special lady. The Bible says all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas has made while she was still with him. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa. And listen to this. Many people believed in the Lord. I want you to see three things about this story. Number one, Tabitha was called a disciple. Disciple in Greek, it's methetes or methetria. I should have tried harder on the pronunciation. But it means a disciple or a pupil, literally a learner, one who mimics their teacher. We like to call disciples Jesus followers. So this morning, how many of you guys received a little Jesus? Did you get a little Jesus when you walked in? If you did not, we will make sure you get one on your way out. But I wanted all of you to get a little Jesus to remind you that we are to mimic Jesus. We are to be his hands and his feet. And the essence of being a disciple of Christ, according to this Chris Connor, I found this quote by him, is unreserved commitment to him. That means if we're going to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, we must follow his example in how we treat others. What was Jesus' command? Love each other as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. I love this, John 13:35. Do you guys know it? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. How do we put in practice loving one another? It's those things, the sheep and the goats we're talking about, right? We feed the hungry. We give them something to drink. All those things. We can visit someone in the hospital. We can write a card. Encourage people who are depressed. Being a disciple means going all out for Jesus. Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him. Second thing about Tabitha, nothing is said about her words. There's not a single word that she said that's recorded in the Bible. What is recorded about her is that she did what? Good, kind things for others. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Specifically, she made garments for them. She might have had a whole slew of people. We don't know. She could have been like Lydia in the Bible and had like a whole crew of people sewing. We don't know. But she was always doing good and helping the poor. My Fire Bible has a note that says, acts of love that help those in need are also an outward display of the Holy Spirit and are just as important as physical healings or other miracles. When you are doing something for Jesus, you're actually using the power of the Holy Spirit. He is there to use you. 1 Peter 4:10-11, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God provides. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. As I was going over this message, it kept coming up. Whenever we do good things for him, his name is glorified. He receives glory. How many of you guys want to give him glory? We gave him glory this morning as we worshiped him in our worship, our music. But our lives give him glory when we do the good, kind things for others. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify. You hear that word again? Glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus also was caught doing good things, good works. He even said, I do the works. my Father has sent me to do. Acts 10:38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know as well as I do, we cannot get to heaven by our works. We don't do the works. We don't do the good things so we can get to heaven. There's no way we can work hard enough to get to heaven. We can't do it. We can only get to heaven by grace are we saved. But Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so what? We can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So we're not saved because we work, but because we love Jesus. We want to work. We want to do things for him because we love him. We want to be a little Jesus. We want to be somebody that is actually his hands and his feet doing good, kind things for others. In studying about Tabitha, it made me wonder, if something happened to me, would anybody say, oh, man, I'm going to miss her. She did this and this and this. Would I be missed? Would anybody be sad? Think about it. And I think about the different ones in my life that have passed on. My aunt just last year, how many people came to her service and said, oh, she did this, and she brought me to church, and she taught me about Jesus, and she was my teacher, and so many things. Think about it. Are people going to be able to say anything about what you did for them? Enough to the point where they would want to bring you back from the dead. Like, that's crazy, right? Tabitha was the only woman that I could find in the Bible that was actually raised from the dead. But because of her life, because she did those things and she was recognized and her life was raised from the dead, what does it say? Her life was a light to those in need, and many, many people came to know the Lord as a result. The people from the whole town heard about Jesus because of this miracle. She let her light shine, and it gave glory to the Father. Next slide, if you will, Daniela. When I asked Heather Glogau to speak for our event, she has raised her two kids, and then she took on two foster kids. And these little guys, Bryce and Brady, are adorable little guys, but they are handfuls. And she got them when they were a little bit older. And so she got on the phone with me and she said, here are all the reasons why I should not be your speaker. And I'm like, seriously, are you like Moses? And she said, no, kind of more like Jonah. She's like running the other way. And I'm like, Heather, this is the reason you do need to be my speaker, because you've been through so much. And she began to share with our group the other night that she was struggling. She's a full-time pastor. She's the lead pastor. Her husband's a chaplain. And here she is trying to help these two little foster guys, and she's struggling herself. But she didn't know how to tell her church how to help her. And so she was like, I would have been so happy if somebody brought me a casserole. If somebody even brought me a coffee to my house and said, here, you can do this today. Or even a piece of bubble gum and told me, just stick with it. She would have been so happy. And so I'm telling you, foster parents need our support. They need our help. And so I just want to show you a very quick video, and I'm wrapping up. A care community is someone who can do these things. So, Danielle, are you ready for that video?
Hello, and thank you for your interest in learning how to come alongside families who are doing the challenging work of caring for vulnerable children through foster care, adoption, and relative care called kinship. Fostering can often be an isolating journey, and if families do not receive any practical wraparound support, about 50% will give up in the first year. However, we know the odds greatly increase for them to stay the course if we can wrap them with 6 to 8 equipped and committed volunteers that work together as a team to offer prayer, encouragement, and practical support. Most of us are not called to foster or adopt, but we are all called to care, and we can all do something. No matter how you choose to engage, praying for your supported family on a regular basis is the most important part of serving.
Let's begin by exploring practical ways you can provide predictable and consistent help. Lightening the family's load by taking care of routine tasks, freeing them up to connect with the children in their care. This is how most members begin serving families. Volunteers can run errands or gather clothing for a new foster placement or help out occasionally with yard work, light housework, or even laundry. Some volunteers can fill the role of an encourager to solely provide encouragement to the family via texts, written cards, phone calls, and prayer. Typically, a team needs a minimum of 4 volunteers who will commit to bring a meal once a month so that the family receives a meal each week on the night of their choosing. For example, Shannon might select to bring a meal the first Tuesday of the month, and Tanya may choose the second Tuesday, and so on. Volunteers often start off serving in more practical ways, and then as they get to know the family and children better, and their relationship grows, they decide to mentor or babysit the children and even offer overnight care. Providing childcare and overnight care is not always possible or may require additional training, agency-specific paperwork, and background checks, which can include fingerprinting and CPR certification. Lastly, a solid team leader is the key and glue to a strong team. This is a great role if you want to be closely involved with a supported family. It's not a big commitment, but a consistent commitment, which requires 1 to 2 hours per week. As you pray about the ways in which you feel called to serve families, please know we ask you to commit to serve for a minimum of 1 year, but would love for you to consider serving longer. You are welcome to serve on a team in any combination of roles. We call these teams care communities, since we are offering extended community to these families by tangibly sharing God's love and increasing relational support. These teams are sometimes referred to as care teams or wrap teams, but the concept is the same. If you choose to serve in a care community, you will do a 1-hour orientation to learn more about foster care, confidentiality, trauma, and how to best connect with families and the children in their care. Thank you for taking the time to learn about serving vulnerable children and families. We pray you will join a care community to be a blessing to a family.
There's that verse again. All right, so the next slide shows a picture of our Lioness League ladies. Actually, everyone can do something, which is something. And then the next one is our Lioness League ladies. These ladies and some of the ones that meet at my house on Monday nights every other week, they have actually filled in the gap for that foster family with 5 kids. They're in the between care communities, and they've been providing a meal a week for the month of March. But we would like to do April for that family of 5, and we'd also like to do a new family that's in Emlenton. We want to do meals for the rest of March and April for this family on Hill Street, which is right down the street from where I park my car. But they have the 6 kids in their home and a bunch of teenagers. So if you can go to the next one, right up here, that's a way you can sign up to do care communities. Like I said, we love our QR codes. But if you look over here at this table, I have a bunch of pans. One of the things you learn in the training is try to put the food in something disposable so they don't have to return dishes to you. But I have 2 pans, some Ziploc bags, and a tag on each of these. And this is for the Somerville family, mom, dad, and 5 kids, ages 1 to 7. No allergies or concerns. They love pasta and don't like seafood, and they would like a meal on Mondays around 5 p.m. And so if you'd like to provide a hot meal for this family, all you have to do is pick up this and sign it out, and then you can provide that meal for them. We can get you further details if you leave your information with us. So that's for the Somerville family. I have 4 pans for them, and for the Brewer family, I have 6 pans. They have 6 kids, ages 1 to 21. No allergies or concerns, and they don't really like seafood either. This family, they can take meals any time on Wednesday. It could be frozen or it could be hot in the evening, however you want to do it. If you want to get it to me, I can make sure it gets to them, however you want to do it. But guys, this is something we can do very tangible, very quickly and easily. Yes, it does take some time. It takes some money, but it will minister to these families. So if you would like to be a part of a care community, there's that QR code. Also, the next one, there's NeedBridge. A lot of you have already signed up on that. Go on to the next one. And by the way, you guys remember I asked about the dryer for the family with 5? The need was met last night at Clarion. Isn't that so cool? At their fundraiser and awareness event. So they got a dryer for that family, so I'm so excited about that. Of course, you can always give. You can also sign up to receive the email that is for prayer needs in Venango County. And going to the next one, we have Hope for the Journey coming up. So there are 2 different trainings. I have some flyers up here. They're the backside of our bulletin from the event that tell these 2 trainings. So if you know anybody who is working with kids with trauma, take one of those and you can tell them how they can get some trauma-informed care training. And we have 2. Go ahead to the next one. One is in Foxburg and one is in Franklin. And then also, the next one, here is our website. If you want to go there, this is multiple buttons you can push. If you want to support families, just go to keyfam.org and then /support families. And there are so many ways you can support. So you can click be part of a care community, sign up for prayer emails, all those things. And also, for the trauma-informed care, Hope for the Journey, if any of you ladies want to help me serve or provide a meal for these events, that would be amazing. Miss Linda Miller helped me last year, and that was awesome. Then another way is, did you know we have a kinship family in Chapel? A kinship family is whenever a family member adopts somebody, and that family member you all know as Hunter. Hunter and Margaret are part of our church body. I believe Margaret had to leave earlier, but I'm telling you, Hunter is in a facility right now for treatment, and he could use some extra loving care and support, some prayers. I, this morning, was able to get an address for him. Girls, can you help me out? If you would be willing to send Hunter a card, could you do that this week? He's really struggling. Here's his address. Do not write in cursive. It's special code, and he can't read it. So, girls, go ahead and pass them out. If you can stand up, and if anybody would like an address for Hunter and you would like to send him a card, just raise your hand. You know, I have to say, I haven't actually visited Hunter myself. I feel like that's something that's lacking. She said certain days you can go. If you would like to visit him one day, you're in Oil City, let Margaret know. She can work it out so you can visit him. He needs our support right now. He's really, really struggling. Another way is to write an encouraging card to a caseworker. So if you would like to do that, get those to me anytime. I'll be glad to drop them off to CYS. So once again, we want to imagine what can happen. Hold out your little Jesus. Imagine what can happen when we, the church, begin reaching out as the hands and feet of Jesus. We may have to move out of our comfort zone, but Jesus wants to use us to be his hands and feet. Let's go ahead and pray together. If you could play that song again that we sang at the last, May My Life Be Worship to You. And we're going to go ahead and pray together. Father God, Lord, we present our bodies a living sacrifice to you. God, there's no way we could repay all that you have done for us. And so, God, we give our lives and we pray, let us be your hands and feet. Open our eyes to see the needs of those around us. God, we pray for Hunter this morning. God, you see the struggles. You see, God, the lies that the enemy has told him, God. And we pray that you would touch him today. Minister to him where he is, God. Jesus, give him a hope. Minister to Margaret through this journey, God. Lord Jesus, we ask in your name as we begin to wrap support around this family. over this family on Hill Street, God, that we could minister to them, not only provide meals, but also that we could pray over them and begin developing relationships with them, God. Lord, our lives are yours. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We could sing that song in closing, just like that. Thank you once again for your support, and I know your hearts are there. You love people. You guys are already doing so much, and I just want to say thank you. Jesus sees, and you might be surprised one day when you find out how many lives that has touched. So I encourage you, if you would like to come pick up a pan, you can sign it out. Make sure you send a card to Hunter, and continue just to pray for these foster families and CYS. We need more workers, okay? Lord bless you. You're dismissed.